Today in Real Ghost Stories Online, a group takes a visit to a lighthouse only to discover that they are not the only ones present in the lighthouse itself.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown. Quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. And 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear them. Of course, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Our show, supported by you guys. Our Patreon page is patreon.com/realghoststories. That's where you get all the bonus content of our show, all the EPP bonus episodes. Brand new ones every single week. Our archive of episodes, our advanced episodes, it's all commercial free. It's another added bonus to you there. You can also go to our website at ghostpodcast.com and get all the same content there. So you can go through our website or Patreon and help keep us on the air. We do greatly appreciate that. Tony and Carol with you on today's episode of the show. What's going on?
Hey, Tony. You know, just hanging out and stuff like that. That's what I got. I'm just sitting here.
You hit that tennis ball back really good that time.
The funny thing I was going to say, I wasn't ready for that question, but that's such a bunch of shit because you asked me the same thing.
What's going on?
I need to come up with something, like, even if it's not true, every time I should just be like, well, I'm just sitting here in my high heels and my mini skirt. Waiting for my next visitor. I got enough time to do this podcast. What are you doing, Tony?
That'd be good. That would be great. Yes. Well, I am farming alpacas now. I got five of them here in the studio with me. That's Junior. That's Jerry. That's Larry. And that's Daryl. And I'm wearing a giant fucking hat.
When you first said that, I totally believed you because you have bought so many animals in the last year.
Yeah, well, that shit's
like,
done.
You have alpaca now?
No, I do not. No.
I thought you were like downsizing the herd a little bit.
I am. Whoa. Yeah. We're not just randomly emotionally buying animals for no reason whatsoever with no clear plan on what to do with them. That ship has sailed. It's just like,
you got what you need.
I'm good. I'm good with my cows and my dogs, and I got some pigs and chickens, and I'm good. I'm not, I don't need anything else right now. But, you know.
It's like, I got my cows and I got my pigs and chickens
and I'm good.
And I got my goats.
I mean, there's no goats.
And I got this hot dog, and that's all I will ever need.
I'm good. I'm good. No, my cows up front are like dogs, I always say, because you walk up there and you pet them and they rub their head on you and they're real friendly. And I was itching one of them's neck today, who's the Elsie, who's the youngest of them, the little dairy cow. And she was she's warming up to me more and more. She's taking her time. But now she's like, oh, you know, like you rub her neck and she's just so happy and pleased. She's just the cutest cow. I never thought I'd like cows as much as I do. But
I mean, you kind of light up when you talk about your cows.
They're fun. They're like some of my favorite pets. And they're just funny and they're smart too, which is, I kind of feel guilty now because I know you don't eat meat, but I still do. And I, you know, it's like,
yeah, that would be kind of weird because especially like I don't get, and you know, a lot of people who farm and you don't get that attachment to animals because it's your livelihood.
Yeah.
But I always thought it was just like growing up, you know, there would be, you know, I lived in really small towns. And so you'd have your farm kids and your city kids.
Sure.
And so the farm kids, you know, they would get this cow and they would raise it. Then they would show it at 4-H and maybe go to state. And like, then they would sell it so somebody could butcher it and eat it. Or eventually, that was frequently the case.
Yeah.
That was going to happen. And like those poor people, because they put so much, you know, these kids put everything into it, and it kind of broke their heart at the same time.
I would think that'd be really hard when you're doing all that to show it, and you kind of, I mean, fuck, I get it. I'm attached to my cows. We did buy one with the intent of we were going to eat it. And then, like, this thing is too friendly. It's following me around like a dog, and it's rubbing its head on me. Like, we're not eating it. Like, this
I'm
is,
glad to hear yeah. that, because I never wanted to bring that up again, because
no.
you said that.
Yeah.
When you got it, and yeah. I'm like, I don't want to know.
No,
I don't want to know.
He's staying here forever. He's just going to be a pet okay. cow, and they're all pets. So yeah, I mean, I can't do the have a pet and eat the pet. And even if it's a farm like livestock type pet, like,
I get how some people can do that. They just don't get emotionally attached.
I do. I cannot not. I guess, I mean, get emotionally attached, unless they're just like really asshole animals or something. Like I had the four cows up front. They were really mean. They were never friendly. And I sold them back to the person I bought them from. So I didn't feel too bad about it. But the ones that are pets and I'm, you know, are friendly, I'm like, no, you guys are all safe here in our little kingdom. So
makes me want to cry.
They wear robes too.
Thinking
during
about
the day.
The cows.
Yeah.
Anyways.
All right. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Share your real ghost stories with us. First one says, hi, guys. First, I'd like to say how much I enjoy listening to your podcast. I've written in the past a story concerning a haunted elevator in my place of work, as I mentioned in that story, in the life in the state of Florida. My two daughters and I had decided we wanted to do a ghost tour in St. Augustine, the oldest city. Our hometown is not extremely far from St. Augustine, so we go quite often. The city has a history of hauntings, the Spanish Fort, pirates, slaves, yellow fever, and of course the lighthouse. We've all had experiences here and we're overtly excited about the tour. So we set out on our nighttime ghost tour. We visited trees where slaves were hung, an alley that has a ghost that chases you if you try to walk down it, a house where an argument between neighbors ended in murder, and the lighthouse. As a team came to a stop at the lighthouse, we all piled out. The guide began to tell his story. There was a second lighthouse built. The first was built on the water's edge and was destroyed by beach erosion due to a hurricane. So this one was moved further inland by the lightkeeper's house. He had taken care of the old lighthouse and was to oversee the new one. He lived in the house with his wife and two young daughters. A wagon on rails was built to pull the Conqueror rocks up from the ships that brought them in to be used for the building of the new lighthouse. One day, the girls decided it would be fun to ride the wagon down into the water. Unfortunately, the brake was broken and both girls were thrown into the water and drowned. It said they can be seen on the swings now in the park across the street and heard running and laughing around the yard in front of the house. As everyone was intently listening to the story, I was standing at the back of the group having known the story. Then suddenly all three of us turned at the same time to look at the upstairs window and the lightkeeper's house. Not knowing why, only to see a little girl looking down at us. Both my daughters also could smell cigar smoke. We did not think much of it because it was a visitor center now. The guy then told a story about how one night the Boy Scouts had a sleepover at the center and ended up leaving in the middle of the night because they kept hearing someone running and laughing at the building. We asked the guide what was going on tonight, and he told us it was closed, that no one was to be inside. He also mentioned the lighthouse keeper was known to smoke cigars when we told him about smelling cigar smoke. We all agreed that we had seen a little girl looking down at us from the upstairs window, and our descriptions of her matched. As we got back on the tram, we talked about what we had seen, and we thought our adventures for the evening were over, but we were wrong. The team returned to its starting point in the town, and we were getting off. We noticed a group by the cemetery near the front arch into the city. A guide was talking about the cemetery and answering questions, so we decided to walk over. Now, on the east side of the cemetery was the main street. The west side was a fence of plywood boards about 6 feet high. They were doing construction to the park and the visitor center on the north side of the cemetery, and the fence went right up to the building. The center was closed due to construction. The cemetery was built as a place to bury the victims of yellow fever. As he talked about how it was brought there by the sailors on ships from Havana, I noticed movement on the north side of the cemetery. It was a man walking on the sidewalk by the building towards the fence. I turned my attention back to the guide. I began to think he did not turn by the fence and come past us. When the guide was finished, I asked my daughters if they had seen someone walking by the building, and they said yes. I asked if he had walked past us, and I just did not notice. They said no. My one daughter suggested that maybe he went into the visitor center, and I said, I'm sure it was closed. We decided to walk down and look, and as I said, the fence was right up to the building, no opening. My daughter checked the door to the visitor center, and it was locked. I did not know who it was or where he went. Maybe one of the yellow fever victims out for a stroll on a warm summer night? As I said, we visit St. Augustine quite often, and 9 times out of 10 we experience something. But it has been like that for most of my life. Well, that's a fun family destination where you can really rely on the ghosts.
And, you know, normally when you take those ghost tours, you hear the creepy stories, but nothing ever happens. Mm-hmm. And you're kind of primed for it. It's like, was that? But they, like, actually saw things.
Yeah.
You know, the only time I did was I just saw one of our other people on the tour, and I thought the person was a ghost. That was embarrassing. But, like, I've never talked to anyone who was on a ghost tour. Like, people get the creepy feeling, and then Everybody's snapping pictures trying to get orbs or something. But nobody ever really...
No. I was on one in Savannah once, and they were like, and if you take the picture in this exact direction at this angle, you'll get orbs. And it's like, yeah, it's called a light refraction. If you do it at that angle from that place, it's not a fucking orb. It's a light refraction. And everybody's like, oh my God, look at it. There's a ghost in our cat. And they're like, this is what scared me. People were like legitimately believing that that's what they were seeing. I'm like, look, it has to do with the light that's right there. It's clear as.
That sells more tours for them because then you leave and it's like, Look at this picture I got of an orb.
And who's, even if they know it's bullshit, who's not going to go tell your friends, I got an orb on the ghost tour?
Right.
And
and everybody would get back on the bus and they're not even paying any attention. Everybody's just looking for orbs on the pictures they just took. And so, but it's interesting to have, like, see the girl, see the guy walk and smell the cigars. Mm-hmm. Now it makes me want to go there, but obviously I don't want to stay in that town because if it's super haunted, I don't want to be there. Good. I'll find me a Best Western nearby.
Bring something back with you.
Yeah, that's all I need. Jesus Christ. Like, no, I do not have a lighthouse.
Just when you thought 2020 was bad, 2021 brings COVID and ghosts.
Now what?
Yeah, exactly.
So he doesn't mow the yard. Things I could use a little help with around here.
If it was just a helpful ghost, that's all you need. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to caller. Hi, it's your story.
Hello, Tony and Jenny. This is Carlos calling from Toronto, Canada. I'm going to tell you a story about my childhood. So I am Canadian, but I was born and raised in Peru in South America. And paranormal stories are very common in Peru. Everybody has experienced them at some point. And I have a few to share, but today I'm going to share one about my dad's house. And I used to live there with my sister when we were in college. And one time, me and my sister decided to make our own Ouija board, and we were playing it in my bedroom. My dad knew about it, and he actually said, I don't want you to play with, you know, those things because I don't want any ghosts in my house. But, you know, being... disobedient, of course, being in college and being young and reckless, we decided to do it. Anyways, so we were playing and we were very focused on the game, on playing, you know, asking questions and whatnot. It was working, but we didn't hear my dad arriving to the house. And my dad arrived, and then I think that he sneaked on us, and then he opened the door of my bedroom, and then as he was opening the door, me and my sister, of course, we got scared, and then we just pushed the Ouija board under my bed, but we didn't quite you know, closed the seances, you know, like that. We didn't, you know, we didn't do what we are supposed to do, which is properly finish the contact with the spirit and give the spirit a farewell goodbye, right? As you're supposed to. And my dad was like, oh, were you playing with that? You know, we were like, nope. We were just, you know, like talking about, you know, like school, like university, and all that stuff. But my dad, I think he knew. And he walked away, and then I got under my bed and retrieved the Ouija board thing that we made, and we tried to, you know, reconnect or resume, you know, the Ouija seance or whatever, you know, that we were doing, but it was not working anymore. So immediately after that, there were changes happening in the house. First, also there was like a lot of bad luck. Like we were having bad things happening to us. Like there were like robbers breaking in and several times stealing things. In one of those times, they killed our dog, which we loved with all of our hearts. And it was that one. That was a big blow to us. Like it was a very sad situation. And something also began to happen. The living room and the kitchen, they were cold places, even though the house was, you know, well illuminated, and the sun and the light would come from different angles because they had like big windows everywhere. And those two parts, they always seemed dark. I mean, I don't know, sad. And you would feel like you needed to walk past by fast, because the second you would step in those areas, you felt chased. And it was a very uncomfortable emotion that would bring you anxiety. There were times that I would come back from partying, you know, come home from being out with my friends, and I would hear the kitchen, you know, like people opening drawers and or doing things, but in a very loud way. So the day afterwards, I would go to my sister and say, hey, next time, you know, don't be loud when you come, you know, like if you want to have a snack after partying, just, you know, like do it quietly, you know, like the kitchen is, you know, like I'm right on top of the kitchen, like on the second floor. So I was like, please, you know, like I can hear everything. And my sister was like, I didn't go out, you know, like nobody did, like, but my sister was like, I also heard it. So it was weird, because it's, yes, you know, there were things that you could tell that they were switched, you know, of places, and one day they would be in one place and then the next day in another. Sometimes we would just go to the kitchen and we would see the drawers open. Later on, me and my sister, we moved out and my dad stayed by himself there. So my dad, he said that he began to see, especially at night, a man that would come into the room, stop by the door and look at him. And my dad said that he looked like dressing like people would dress maybe 100 years ago in the area, right? Or maybe 150 years ago in that area. And in that area, it was more like there were horse farms and lots of cows, and people were dedicated to the leather industry and the dairy industry. So he looked like those people, but back in the day, you know, like wearing like those big ponchos and hats and But my dad said he seemed to be floating. And that's when he knew that, you know, it was a ghost. But he would have the routine that every night, at the same time at night, these ghosts would just show up, stay by the door, looked at my dad. My dad would greet him and then would leave. So my dad, I think that he began to talk to him as a friend, because my dad, he's not into to ghosts or those things. For my dad, he was just a companion. And a couple of times, my dad, he would go to the kitchen and he would try to cook something. And the gas, like the knob of the cooktop, were, you know, like where the knob for the gas would be open. And that would be very dangerous because my dad is a smoker. But he noticed a couple of times that just before he would light on his cigarette, the smell, and then he would go to the kitchen and he would see that the gas was running. And it was like spreading all over the house. And my dad, he thinks that that was the ghost. And my dad, he told me that he thought that the ghost wanted to extend that friendship to the other side. You know, like he wanted my dad to die so they would be friends, you know, in a different dimension, I guess. I don't know. In the beyond. But my dad didn't like that. So I think my dad, after a couple of times that he saw that happening, he yelled and cursed and said lots of profanity to the ghost, but yelling, you know, because in Peru and South America, we have the belief that when you scream profanities and curse and swear and yell to the ghost, they actually leave. And that's what happened, because my dad said that after he told the ghost, like, we're not friends, and F you, and you son of a so, and all of the, you know, curses and whatnot and profanities that you could scream, and then my dad said, leave, I don't want to be your friend, and continue to curse and say those profanities. After that, he never saw the ghost again. And whenever me and my sister would visit, the living room, the kitchen would feel lighter, like welcoming and not very stressed, like they were not very stressful environments, you know. And it was pleasant. Even those areas would be brighter. Like the light would come in better ways. It was completely different. And also when our dog died, we remember that we heard like the steps of our dog after he died. So I think that whatever spirit was there was playing as well mind tricks. But when the spirit left, we never heard those things again, and we never felt uncomfortable, and my dad never saw that man again, and my dad actually was happier too. So that's my story, and I know it's a little bit long, but I hope that you liked it. And I love your show, and thank you so much, because I think that this show is helping a lot of people, you know, to get distracted and maybe in a better mood during these difficult times. And you're doing something really great for us, the listeners. So thank you so much. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you for sharing your story. A lot to unpack there. Thoughts?
I loved listening to him tell that story.
Yeah.
Because it went places I wasn't expecting it to go. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was fascinating. So, but he didn't before the Ouija board. Mm-hmm. Bad idea, if anybody's thinking about it. Because, you know, as soon as he mentioned Ouija board,
yeah,
it was going to go someplace dark, because yeah, they always do. But he didn't say anything about having anything in the home before then, did
no.
he?
No, so I
this
believe,
all happened after.
I believe it was kind of the catalyst that began a lot.
But I thought it was so interesting. And then, you know, how they left, and then the dad has this experience with a ghost, but views him more as a companion, mm-hmm. like a friend, which is weird.
It's like a grown-up imaginary friend.
And then something I never heard of in where he's from, you could yell profanities at the ghost and scream at them to leave.
I want that
so
shit
to work.
So that's
interesting to me because if it works there, and it sounds like in this case it did work, I'm like, start dropping F-bombs if you think you got some in your house. It's worth a shot, right?
Well, I mean, you think of it because we talk a lot about, you know, ghosts. If they're, you know, earthbound people who were once here and walking around, if you started screaming profanities directly at a living person in the same room with you, they would probably also leave. So,
but it's so interesting here. We'll call an exorcist, you know, we'll call a priest to bless the house. Like, we're going around with holy water and sage, and they're just like, F you, get out of this effing house.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? That wasn't very profanity laced, the what the hell part.
It's a different approach. It's like, make them, the ghosts, that much so uncomfortable that they want to leave, rather than let's exercise it by force of...
Fascinated.
Yeah.
And maybe too, it's like about your conviction as well. Like, if you're just like, F you, it's time for you to go. But if you really committed to it, like if you got pissed at that ghost, and it sounds like the dad did, mm-hmm. the dad was pissed, had enough. And then like the whole house became lighter. Like he said, it just physically, like more light was coming into the house. Like things were just different.
You cuss the ghost out, that's what you get.
But I mean, and then to have it so bad after the whole Ouija board experience to where their house got broke into and they murdered their dog.
Yeah.
Like when he said that, I'm like, oh my God. Yeah.
I knew at that moment you were cringing. I mean, everyone's cringing, but you especially, you know, it's.
Something about, you know, I don't know. We can do the dark side of Wikipedia and I hear some really disturbing things, but when it involves a dog or a child, I'm like,
it kind of changes the dynamic a bit.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing.
That was just a great story.
It was. Thank you for sharing that one with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's do one more quick call here today. Hi.
Hi, Tony. It's Melanie calling from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. This is a story, I have several, but this one I'm going to share, I have not heard on your show yet, so I thought it's a different one. This is a ghost that was captured on a cell phone of mine. So it was about 2009. I lived in a 75-year-old house in Toronto, in an area called the Annex. And I used to do my work in the kitchen and leave the door open. So I'd be working on the computer. There was a property that sat across from us that had been torn down one day, like right down to the foundation. So as I always left the back door open for fresh air in the spring, I was back at work one day on the computer, my back was to the door, and my old mobile flip phone was sitting on the counter where the camera would sit on the top. And while I was working, I heard the clicking of my camera. I thought, this is weird. So I turned, what's going on? And I went back to work. A few minutes later, the camera started clicking again. This time, I got up and went to see if the phone had, like, something going on with it, like maybe the battery's dying. Nope, the phone was fine. Then I went back to work again. My back was always towards the door. A few minutes later, the camera started clicking again. So weird, I thought. So I went over, I picked it up, and as I looked at it, I thought, that's weird. I opened up the pics, and I saw a young man's face, a young man with a toque, black toque, hovering. It must have been hovering over the actual camera in my phone. So since the camera was in front of, you know, on the counter, it was so weird because the actual spirit would have been hovering over it. So anytime in the future, that freaked me out. I showed everybody that I could because I thought that was the weirdest thing. Eventually, my partner did take the cell phone out and lose it, not after I showed many, many people. But anytime in the future, I left the door open and felt a weird energy, I would just say, like, I'm sorry, go away, I can't help you. Eventually, it stopped, and then we moved from the house. That's my story. Hope you enjoyed it, the cell phone ghost. And I can be reached at 416.
and we'll take the phone number up. But that is an interesting thing where you got the ghost on the camera and then things start kind of getting a little bit weird. I don't know why I haven't thought of that kind of a concept, but just the idea of that being a thing makes sense.
That would totally freak me out.
Yeah.
Like, and then to have the pictures to go with it.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I can't imagine.
Yeah.
One more thing to be freaked out about.
Creepy one.
Well, and like sometimes my phone reboots every once a week.
It's the devil.
At night. It's the devil that does it.
Yeah.
And so, but when it reboots and you have to, you know, put your PIN number back in. And in that time where it's just kind of waiting for me, it does this. I can't tell you how many nights I heard that before I figured out it was my damn phone. Because I'm like, what is it?
Or what is it?
Something is ticking by my head.
Or was it the phone?
It would eventually fade away.
Yeah.
Like, because it's just ticked for so long. Then it's like, but like, I just laid there with my eyes closed. Now, had I opened my eyes and realized there was a glowing light from my nightstand, then I would have been like, oh my God, a glowing light. It was just my phone. But now if that happens again, like it will this week, I'm going to be like, it's taking pictures of a ghost. Don't look.
The Satan phone.
Don't look. You don't want to see it. That is the creepiest thing, though. Like, so she did get rid of the phone, right? But then it doesn't matter. Like, bring in a new phone. If the ghost could do that with one phone, it could do it with another.
Yeah.
Wow. I have never heard of that.
That was, you know, I think I haven't either. I think that's one we can actually put on the chart of that's a new one. And that's rare on this show.
For those of you playing Real Ghost Stories, bingo.
Yeah. It's a new space, everybody. No one's ever checked this one. Get right? on your daubers.
You've been waiting for the elusive one, cell phone, camera ghost, or whatever.
There you go. Although somebody's going to be like, no, we called this one back in 2014 or something. Like, oh, I'm sorry. I must have missed that one. But there you go. I mean, I'm thinking now of bingo and playing bingo at like my dad's, like his church had like the church picnic, and there would always be inside. It was a Catholic church. And then inside like the gymnasium at the church picnic were just hundreds of old people with the daubers for the bingo, and they'd have like 30 cards in front of them. It's like, how are you like B24? And they're able to look at like all 30 cards within the course of
right?
like 4 seconds.
I can't do that. And they're daubing like crazy.
Oh my God. But then like you sit and talk to them outside of bingo and they're like, could you say that again? Like, how did you do all the bingo and now you can't hear me? I mean, it's just, and I'm not trying to insult old people by any means. I think it's great. And I think we can get a ton of wisdom from our elderly and from our seniors. I think I'm not negative on that. It's just a funny concept where you have the bingo skills and then all of a sudden gone. It's like, it's a talent right there to play some of those.
And there's nothing wrong with them going out and gambling a few times a week.
I don't care. I have nothing, no problem with it. Yeah, I just...
You go spend all your money, Grandma.
I just thought like the amount of focus and attention that it would take to do that bingo. And then it's like the second that's done, it's like the focus and attention's kind of gone. I'm like, how...
I can't take the stress of bingo, to be honest. Like, it is so stressful.
Like when I go to Grandma, like, pretend I'm bingo. You know?
Be interested in me.
I will speak to you in terms of whatever random ball I pull out of this thing. And then, yeah. But no, it was fun. I think I played it once and I won like a 6-pack of Cherry 7-Up. And that
it's
made...
Like I want to do this every week. That's how they hook you.
Made my day. That's going to wrap up today's episode of the show. If you like it, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Greatly appreciate the support and help to keep us on the air. Follow Carol on Instagram at Carol Hughes. Follow me on TikTok and Instagram at Tony Bruschi, TonyBrueski. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.